is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD, online at WFMD.com, keyword faith. If you visit us online, you'll find my bio and my picture. You've always wondered, right? Okay, truth be told, I'm much better looking than I sound. Right? Yeah, okay. That wasn't as encouraging as I would have hoped. Anyway, the people not giving me the encouragement I had hoped would be Daniel Razvi, a recent grad from Oak Brook College of Law. He took the bar, and we're going to find out in days whether he passed or not. Yes. Even if it's years, days add up to years, but it's a couple months away from you finding out, right? And also, Julia Shern is the pastor of St. John's Bible Fellowship Church and the evangelist for St. John's Bible Fellowship Churches here as well, Kendall Lovelace. And this is our third go-round with this panel, and we've been talking about things in the news as they relate to the church and faith and a lot of legal-related issues, and we've talked about really local issues and some statewide questions and some national questions, and we've even gone international. We talked about last week something going on in Russia and Canada, and this week we're going to talk about something going on in Poland. See? We're on the World Wide Web at www.wfmd.com. So I'm going to read this story and then we'll solicit your thoughts on this. This is from Bloomberg. Jesus is King for Poland's New Rulers is the title. The populist government wants the country to answer to God, not its critics in Western Europe. I'm liking that so far.
Sounds good.
Last month, the president, prime minister, and a government delegation joined a ceremony to affirm their country to be under the protection of the, quote, Immaculate Heart of Mother Mary. Not as big a fan of that, but that's just theological hair splitting, maybe, against moral decay. I'm all about being against moral decay. Even for one of the most pious nations in Europe and home to the continent's largest statue of Jesus Christ, trivia nerds, pay attention. What's home to Europe's largest statue of Jesus Christ?
Poland.
It was a notable declaration, this was. It marked the governing Law and Justice Party's latest move to knit church and state closer together just a few months after Jesus was pronounced the country's king by bishops at a service also attended by the president. Okay, now, maybe I'll pause there for a minute and just, this is not America we're talking about, but these are the kinds of things that certain aspects of our society are nervous about, particularly since the beginning of the story talked about populism. All right, so they named Jesus their king, which I don't think would ever happen in America, but it happens in Poland, apparently. And they're trying to knit church and state closer together as though it's Islam, I suppose. I'm not sure what their goal is there, but that's kind of what Islam theology is all about. It doesn't make a distinction between church and state.
Right.
Anyway, the story continues. The Catholic Church is one of the, quote, foundations of our identity, our way of life, and of being Polish. Okay. I didn't realize that Christianity was about being Polish, but pass the kielbasa. Party leader Jarosław Kaczynski, I hope I got that close to right, said 2 days before the Zakopane service, I'm not reading this right, all these Polish names are throwing me. There are people who are in great pains over all of this. It comes down to an uneasy relationship between faith and power. Here we go. Poland's nationalists spent their – again, these are buzzwords that will make American people nervous in certain circles. Poland's nationalists spent their first year in office replacing the heads of companies, the media, and courts with their own people, drawing criticism in Western Europe. Well, yeah. It's now trying to return a nation to its religious roots and giving priests unprecedented influence on politics and business in modern Poland. So who wants to step in – to the batter's box first and give me a first impression on everything that's wrong about this and what we should – I mean, I'm kind of showing my hand, but what do you think about this? Daniel, you want to go first?
Well, I may be of a little bit different opinion in that as a general principle, theonomy is not necessarily a bad thing. God had the nation of Israel. They were all worshiping God. They were following his principles, at least – at the times that they were, and the times that they were not, were very clear. He gave them over into oppression by their enemies. But theonomy as an idea is not necessarily a bad thing. The problem becomes when you don't leave room for any other interpretation and you don't have a direct word from God. It's one thing if you have a direct word from God on a particular issue or topic, and you have to be very careful, if that's the case, on whether it's relating specifically to you and how you live your life, whether he's telling you to do something else. And I think the fear that a lot of people have of something like this happening in America would be very unfounded. The left and the humanist people in the United States are very much against this, and they would fight very hard to prevent a establishment on this scale of religion. I think this particular thing is what the founders were trying to avoid. Why it was to establish a particular denomination of religion, and that was really what the First Amendment was about. They didn't want to have a particular denomination established. They didn't have any problem with everyone believing in God, even all the government, all the elected officials believing in God, being strong Christians. But they didn't want, you know, us to be a Presbyterian nation or a Baptist nation or a Methodist nation or any of those. So that's I think where the founders came on this. Of course, Poland has a different history than the United States. So I don't know what you're...
Right, and it's heavily Roman Catholic. Yeah. And so that's why, you know, the Mary reference and all that sort of stuff.
Well, it seems to me, Troy, that history repeating itself. We went through, I guess it was called the Reformation, where the Protestants raised a lot of issues about what Catholics were doing. And out of that, you got separation. There's good news and bad news in what you read. The good news is the gospel is being talked about and spread in a predominantly communist country. So we're making progress. To me, the bad news is that just as during the, and I may be wrong about this period, the Reformation Act, it's one particular denomination trying to get control.
Yeah, I think that anytime people are talking about the Bible and there's a discussion about Jesus, that there's an opportunity for good things to flow from that. But I'm not entirely sure that this is really talking about the gospel. And this ties to your point about a theonomy or a theocracy kind of idea as an idea, not necessarily wrong. We see it pretty clearly in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel. And so if the concept were bad, God wouldn't have done it in Old Testament times. But from a Christian perspective, the way I understand and read the Bible, Israel is a picture of God's people that then finds its fulfillment in the perfect Israel, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus comes, that earthly kingdom of Israel was pointing to a much better, more fulfilled, more glorious kingdom, which the king himself says is not of this world. And so to think about a geopolitical national, you know, nation state as being a Christian nation with Christ as its king would disagree with the words of Christ himself. Jesus didn't say that his is a kingdom of the Polish people. It is a kingdom, in fact, not of this world. And that, I think, becomes a misrepresentation or at least a point of confusion for people who don't have a lot of understanding of what the Bible teaches on these things. I don't know if I will get a lot of agreement in this room or not, but you'll hear oftentimes the argument that America is a Christian nation founded on Christian Judeo-Christian principles. I can't argue with the fact that we were founded on Judeo-Christian principles and that our founders were overwhelmingly primarily Bible readers and well-schooled in things of the Bible. However, I think it goes a bridge too far to say that we were a Christian nation for the same point I was just making. I don't think there's any such thing as a Christian nation. There is a Christian people. There's a Christian church. There are followers of the Christian king. But that's not the same as being a Christian nation. We can be a nation that follows after Christian teachings. We can embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as a people. But we're not governed by Jesus Christ as our king. And so I get nervous when we blur those lines.
I'm going to beg to differ with you in just a bit. If I'm a Christian, mm-hmm. and you just said it, I believe that I'm in this world, mm-hmm. but sure. I ain't of this world.
Correct.
I'm a part of the kingdom. So for my world, it might not be for your world or his world, Jesus is king.
Oh, absolutely.
Jesus is my king.
Absolutely.
And my savior. What I meant when I said there's some good news in that and some bad news in it, you know, I have to just go to Scripture. Romans 8:28 says whatever's going on is going to be for the good of those who love Christ. And the fact that when I say the gospel, the fact that there are people in Poland speaking about Christ in the positive is what I meant when I said that's the good aspect of that.
No, and like I said, I think there's an opportunity for a lot of good to spring from that, to flow from that. But if it stops there, it's incomplete. And an incomplete picture sometimes is, something I'm kind of known for saying around my house is sometimes the most dangerous lie is that which looks most like the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if we get really close up to the truth, I mean, Muslims have an awful lot of good things to say about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not proclaiming the gospel as I understand mm-hmm. the Bible to proclaim it.
Absolutely.
You know, there are a lot of secularists out there who will say a lot of really good things about Jesus, but mm-hmm. they're not proclaiming the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jesus Seminar people say a lot of really good things about Jesus, but I don't think that they understand what the Bible is really saying.
Jesus himself said, many of you are saying, Lord, Lord,
right.
but your hearts are so far from me. And that's what comes to my mind as you're speaking. Shorter. I think that's the problem with the modern-day church. I think there are a lot of people who believe that they're Christians. And
oh, absolutely.
You know, and they walk in there, and they pay their tithes, and they treat people good, and they do all of that.
And they show up every week for their Sunday morning social club, and then they happen to call church.
And then they show up on Judgment Day, and God says, I never knew you.
Right.
And that's the sad reality.
Yes.
And we have become lukewarm, as Revelation says. We have become lukewarm as a people and it's across many denominations. It's not subject to any one denomination, but many believers or professing Christians are very lukewarm, and they don't have very strong grounding in the faith.
And there's a weakness of the church leadership, which hasn't done a very good job of training up and making disciples. And you know, I'm invited on occasion to guest preach at churches in the area, and I go in there with the presumption that most of the people that are hearing what I have to say are not Christians.
Yes.
They might be regular attenders. Yes. They might go there yes. every single week.
Yes.
They might have been going to that church for 50 years.
Yes.
But I'm assuming they're probably not Christians just because my experience has told me that if you go to somebody who's been going to church for years and they say they're a Christian and you ask them almost anything about Christianity and their faith and what the Bible teaches, they don't really have a very well-formed view. So do they even know what they believe, know enough to know what they believe, much less believe something,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, and you deal with that as an evangelist. I'm sure you probably assume that everybody you run into is probably not really a believer.
All the time. And it's a safe place to be as an evangelist, because if I go in under any other mindset, I'm probably going to miss the opportunity. So I assume that everybody says that they are, but there's a fine line.
Yeah,
there's
I think 70% of America in Gallup polls says that they're Christian. No way is that true. Not even close, in my opinion. This is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm Troy Skinner. We're online at WFMD.com. Daniel Razvi is on the show. He's the guy with all the legal – he doesn't like me calling him an expert, but with all the legal insights on the program.
There you go.
Julia Shearn is the pastor of St. John's Bible Fellowship Church, and Kendall Lovelace is the evangelist at that same church. By the way, this is my ratings enhancement moment of the show. This is the last line I'm going to read from this Poland story, and then we'll move on to their story. Ratings alert. All right. While former communist Europe has been a fertile ground for organized religion since the fall of the Berlin Wall, the apparent determination to ally with the church echoes the conflict playing out between urban elites and populist leaders in Turkey, Russia, and even the U.S. under Donald Trump. Russia, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Russia. Again, a tenfold spike in the ratings. Okay, so here's a story that's talking about America now. We've done a few stories in a row going back to last week and now this week on stories that are outside of this country. This is from Religion News Service. Clergy arrested outside McConnell's office while protesting health care bill, is the title. 11 interfaith pastors, including the Reverend William Barber II, were arrested outside Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's office while protesting Medicaid cuts in the GOP's revised health care bill. About 50 protesters had gathered, this is on July 13th when this happened, for the Capitol Hill rally before marching to a Senate office, the steps by the Capitol. Some protesters wore red armbands to symbolize a willingness to engage in civil disobedience. The group was warned three times to stop protesting. Capitol Police then closed off the hallway and arrested any remaining protesters about 20 minutes later. They started out with 50. 11 got arrested. Following the arrest, some of the remaining protesters gathered out front for prayer. So the question here is a little broader, and it's not about a specific, how do we understand the law here or whatever, but what do you think is the role of people like Reverend William Barber II wearing the label of a Christian pastor, a reverend, getting deeply involved in political issues and protesting at the Senate? Is that a good thing, a bad thing, an indifferent thing? It doesn't matter, or more pastors should do it, or I mean, what? You know, have you ever done it? Would you do it? Do you think it's the right thing? What's your feeling on that?
I've done it, and yes, I would do it, but I would be very careful to pick and choose what I would be picketing, and it certainly wouldn't be the Health Care Act,
right?
As a pastor,
you would try to pick more theological issues that might
not necessarily. I would theologically correct issues. For example, when we talk about Medicaid, part of that Medicaid is going to fund Planned Parenthood. I've studied Planned Parenthood. The bulk of the money that Planned Parenthood goods, your tax money, is used for abortions. Okay? And my protest would be not to go there, to protest that aspect of it. And if it dies and they get it out of there, I will be real happy. But I believe in the right to pick it. I believe in the right to stand up for one's rights. But I think you pick and choose.
And we have a good example in Paul. I mean, Paul was a Roman citizen, and he was going to be vocal about it. He said, you do not have the right to beat a Roman citizen without cause. I was free born. He was very adamant that he was going to use his rights under the secular government that God had placed him in. And he was going to use those to the fullest extent, not being rude about it or obnoxious about it, but stating the facts. I am a Roman citizen. You are not going to treat me this way. And I think in America, we do have the right to protest. I think also, and I don't know all the facts of this situation, so I'm not saying this is what happened here, but in many news stories lately, I've seen a lot of confusion between the words protest and riot. And there is a big difference between protest and riot. Mm-hmm. And even when somebody says peaceful protest, okay, well, even a peaceful protest could be disruptive. I could bring 100 of my friends and stand on the middle of Highway 270 to protest roads and cars. I could be Amish and decide to do that. I don't know. But I don't think I have the right to stand there and impede traffic and probably cause accidents and cause people to lose their lives just because I don't like the road. There are other ways, there's times and manners to do so. Yes, we have the freedom to protest and to talk. So I'm not sure what the situation is here, whether they were properly arrested or not. But certainly they do have the right to protest. And even as Christians, we should take advantage of our rights under the Constitution, under the government that God has placed us under, because that is we are living in the world. We're not of the world, but we're living in the world, and we do. I think taking advantage of those rights is not against God. It's not against our faith.
And Pastor Shern had an aside that's not directly related to the story, but I'm going to play off of that for a minute, particularly because we have, you know, the pastor and his evangelist sidekick are African American. And so, you know, I feel almost like I need to say this. I think it is as bad as the institution of slavery is in certain parts of the world, including this country even today, but was for the African American community or the Africans that were brought to this country. As bad as that is and was, and I'm not meaning to diminish that at all, I think that the willful, purposeful damage, destruction that our society, the American society, has perpetrated upon African American communities with Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics is the greatest sin against blacks in this nation's history. I think it's like
so many babies.
It's like 90% of abortion clinics are in black neighborhoods. Yes. That is not by accident.
Not by accident.
what is it, 13% of the population is black, but 90% of the abortion clinics are in black communities. That is not by accident. And if you want to look at Margaret Sanger and the whole, you know, movement in that direction, it's clearly based in some sort of a negative attitude about African-Americans and blacks. It's a horrible crime what we've done. Tens of millions of black white babies, too. But as a percentage, it's crazy.
Yes.
It's crazy how out of whack the percentages are. We have mass murdered, if you believe that life begins at conception, and I do,
and we as a
society have mass murdered over the last 40 or whatever years it is now, 45 years coming up on.
Yes. Yes.
Legally mass murdered black babies by the tens of millions.
Tens of millions.
And yet we want to have a moral superiority and say, oh, Hitler was horrible. And he was.
Yes.
And he killed 16 million
people. He didn't kill tens of millions. Amen. He killed 16 million.
Amen.
As bad as that is.
Amen. And there's been more than 50 million abortions.
It's
even
horrible.
Stalin, who killed more than Hitler, he only killed 48 million.
Well,
and the 50 million. Well, the 50 million is just the black babies, right? It's over 100 million.
I think it's
babies.
Over 100 million, probably. Yes. And worldwide, the number is staggeringly large.
Yeah.
Even more than that.
And therein lies the enemy's lie, turning the lie into truth. You got all of these women marching, my rights for health care. That's not health care. That's murder.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we could go off. That could be a whole series of shows all by itself. And
the last thing I want to say about this, these pastors were apparently protesting the health care bill. Presumably they want more people to be given health care. And I don't want to turn this into a health care debate. But I just ask, what is the reason that people think that the government, or many people think that the government should be involved in health care, is because in many cases, the church is not doing its job of caring for the poor.
Oh, my God.
And some of these pastors, I'm not sure who they are exactly, and I don't want to pass judgment on them, but I think in many cases, we can shift the focus. We should be giving to the poor. The reason that the government is stepping in, or trying to step in many cases, because we as the church are not doing our job that is commanded by God to take care of people who cannot take care of themselves.
Well, I have so much more I would want to say on that, but we don't have time. This is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFND. Our sponsors are Hilo Auto Sales, online at HiloAutoSales.com, and Tire Pros of Frederick. Guests this week, Julius Schern, who's the pastor of St. John's Bible Fellowship Church, and the evangelist at that same church is Kendall Lovelace, and Daniel Rasby was the last voice you heard before mine. Thanks so much for listening. We'll do this again 167 and a half hours from now. Till then, God bless.